coming up, a very special guest. Chris Vernon joins the Kevin O'Connor Show. And a quick note for this week, we got shows on Wednesday and Thursday this week. So Monday with Verno, then Wednesday and Thursday. Chris Vernon coming up right now. Welcome back to the Kevin O'Connor Show. Joining me today is the most special guest, Verno!
Wow, Kevin, it's good to see you, brother.
Great to see you today, man. I appreciate you doing this late on Sunday after watching your Cowboys. And we're going to do one of our classics today, semi-bold predictions for the 25-26 NBA season. Chris, you want to get us started?
I mean, this was not that easy because I didn't know at what level of semi-bold I should go. All right, I'll start like super easy, right? So one of the things that I've been going crazy about is this rookie class. That this rookie class already looks like it's going to be an absolute all-timer. I've been so impressed with all the players that we've seen so far. I understand it's just the preseason, but from summer league now to the preseason. But the semi-bold prediction is that last year's NBA draft class is going to look infinitely better this year than it did a year ago. Last year's draft class sucked in terms of us going out of our way for entertainment to watch players, right? We weren't seeking out Reese Ishay or Sarr. Shepherd wasn't getting to play. You could go down the list. Some of the guys were buried. Some of the guys weren't good. And then we got to the end, and, you know, it ended up being Stephon Castle and Jalen Wells and Zach Edey, some of the guys that did get to play throughout the year. But I think one of the things that I've noticed in the preseason this year and looking up and down these rosters is that not only are some of these guys going to get an opportunity they did not last year, they're also going to be possibly very good, right? And so I think that we're going to look back, and I think after a year, we went, man, that was just a lame down draft class. But the semi-bowl prediction is that that draft class is actually going to look good after this year, when we see Reese Ishay and we see Shepherd and we see the Rob Dillinghams of the world and the Bozelis, and even if you go down the list, Donovan Klingon's going to get to play a lot this year. I mentioned Bozelis, Topic, who very well may get in the lineup with Oklahoma City. Devin Carter will probably get his chance. Khalil Ware could take a massive leap. Even down the list, when you get down to the end of the first round, like Terrence Shannon, going to get his opportunity. Filipowski, Johnny Furphy, A.J. Mitchell, who I love, who's another Oklahoma City guy. Like, I just think that Bona, who's playing for the Sixers, I just think that, like, we got done with last year, and many times we make up our opinions on what a class is going to be or – and I think this year we're going to look up and we're going to go, you know what? That class was actually pretty damn good. And there's a bunch of really good players out of it, some of which could become stars. Because I think we came out of last year and went, eh, no stars, right? No stars out of this thing. I don't think there's an easy prediction of a star when we ended last season. And I predict my semi-bowl prediction is by the end of this season, we will have at least two guys, maybe three out of that class that we go, those guys are going to end up being stars.
Well, Matis Bozelis is the guy in preseason that so far looks like he's most primed for that star leap. And he fell all the way to 11 after he worked out with the Hawks, and he could have went first. Yep. And he fell 10 picks to number 11. So I think like guys like that on young teams going to get a lot of opportunity. But you mentioned some of the guys on like good teams. I mean, like Rob Dillingham, Terrence Shannon, they could be really important to Minnesota this year with like what that team could actually be when it comes to the playoffs. Like, I think they really need to invest in those guys. And one guy you didn't mention, Jarrod McCain. Obviously, he's injured to start the year, but he was really good as a rookie. He was the guy who was really looked like the major steal, and then he gets hurt. Now he's missing the start of this year. And there's a lot of guys in that Sixers, you know, backcourt wing position. Obviously, Tyrese Maxey, VJ Edgecombe, who was awesome in his preseason debut. But McCain, his shooting, the playmaking, that connective ability, he's another one of those guys that if he stays healthy this year could be very important.
Like this, well, I mean, and you could see, I mean, I know you're a big fan of Shepherd. Shepherd could pop. I mean, he went crazy the other night in a preseason game. And if he gets his opportunity in Houston, and I just think that, look, I am extremely confident we're going to have at least 5 or 6 stars out of this class and very possibly superstars, like carry a team franchise level players. It's possible out of this one. I mean, I think that's how good some of these kids look already when I watch them. That was not true of last year's class, but I think that, you know, just we talk so many times about opportunity and fit. I think some of it is just where some of these guys got drafted and they're not going to get their shot until year two. So we're not going to see them until this year and then figure out what they can actually be. But we'll look back and it's going to look way better after a year.
Well, I'll piggyback off of your first semi-bold prediction with the one I was going to say second, but I'll move it to first right here because it plays off of yours. The Rockets won't miss Fred VanVleet. And the reason why I say that is for a couple of different reasons here. Number one, let's just talk about the second year guy, Reed Shepherd. Reed Shepherd, he is going to be a very good shooter. He's not like a flashy ISO scorer, but he reads the floor. He makes good passes. Defensively, he's a spark plug with the 3-point blocks and picking off passes in the passing lanes. He converts these live ball steals into transition. The shooting. Elite shooter, potentially. I think he's going to be a solid player for them in his second year and build off of the flashes we saw last year. Amen Thompson as well. It, like they've ripping the Band-Aid off for these young guys. With Shepherd, he's going to get a chance, and Amen Thompson's going to get extended chances as a point guard. And we saw the flashes last year with him on top of the elite defense. I had him as my defensive player of the year. I think he's one of the best defenders in the league. And then his connective passing ability. We saw him run point a bit, and he performed okay. The lack of a jumper is a problem for him. But one little trend to keep an eye on from the preseason, Chris. Amen Thompson shot 11 for 12 from the free throw line, 5 of 8 off of jumpers. And it's a super, super tiny, pretty much meaningless sample size. But the shot looked clean. It looked like he just continues to iron out that hitch that has plagued him going back to high school and OTE in his rookie year. It's getting a little better each year. And if Amen Thompson can become average as a shooter on top of everything else, I think that Thompson-Shepherd combination with the investment in them could end up leading to a higher ceiling for the Rockets than whatever Fred VanVleet was able to provide.
All right. I totally disagree. I love the guys that like the orchestrators, right? That's the role. I'm settling this down. I'm getting everybody into their place. And I just think they make everybody else better. And I'm not so sure that the best opportunity for Amen Thompson is for him to have the ball in his hands all the time. I'm not sure that that's where you get the most out of him as a player, with the ball being in his hands first and then trying to. And I just think it may not even be that VanVleet's out as much as the whole thing is new, right? Like, I mean, it's not just Fred. It's Fred and Dylan and Jalen Green. And I get it. Everybody's like, yeah, but those guys aren't any good. It's still a new group of players that have to get used to playing with each other, a totally new pecking order. Like, who's the best player on that team? You'd say Kevin Durant, right?
Of course. And then Shengun. Well, that's the thing, though, Chris, right? Like you're right. Like, you're losing some core pieces from last year, but KD's going to run a little bit of point. Shengun, more dribble handoffs, a bit more usage for him on top of these younger guys that are going to be playing some guard in the absence of VanVleet. I think like VanVleet's a good player.
I hate guard by committee. I always have. That's what it was tried to sell to me that that's what Phoenix was going to do. It doesn't matter because they got Kevin Durant and they got Devin Booker and they got Brad Beal and they got whatever. And they like, it could never.
But wasn't it still point guard by committee with VanVleet?
No, he's the guy that runs the show. He's the guy that has the ball in his hand.
That puts a ceiling on you, though. The last 3 years, Chris, I looked this up earlier today. Last 3 years, Fred VanVleet has posted a 38.5 effective field goal percentage in the clutch That is the worst of the 35 players to take over 150 clutch shots in the last 3 years.
Here's a better stat for you. Go look at their record with and without Van Vliet last year.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter when you're talking about a totally different team.
They're a 500 basketball team without
him. Yeah, but you're talking about second year Amen and first year Reed Shepard and Shengun.
And now you're playing them out of position.
They also have Kevin Durant now.
Now you're playing them out of position. Like, maybe not Shepard, but we don't even know if Ime is going to play him. But you're playing Thompson out of position.
He better play him.
Okay, this is just like the Amen Thompson. They're going to do the Sohan thing, right? Like, I just don't think that that's what he is. I don't think he's a point guard.
Yeah, but I don't think he's a pure point either. He's like a connective, weird Swiss Army knife type of guy. He does a bunch of different things for you, but he can also occasionally run point.
But this team's supposed to win tomorrow. Like, they're not supposed to win in 2 years. This isn't a developmental thing, right? Fred Van Vliet is as solid a veteran as comes. And I saw, look, Minnesota tried this last year. You can down on Mike Conley and everybody else can, how old he is and how he's lost a step or whatever else. But every time they had to go back to him. Every time they had to go back to him.
But they can't. Oh, but
just do it with Ant. We'll do it with DiVincenzo. We'll do it with whoever.
But that puts a ceiling on you. You need those young guys to raise your ceiling. Like, the Minnesota Timberwolves need Ant to improve his playmaking. They need that back to the basket, mid-post area to work for him so he can be a playmaker from there. They need him to develop it from pick and roll. They need Rob Dillingham to be something so Mike Conley can be a 15-minute-per-game guy instead of a 30-minute-per-game guy. It's a necessity for the Wolves to get that.
I like point guards.
Well, I think Reed Shepard's going to, like you said, year two guys.
I hope so.
Reed Shepard could be one of them. What's your next one, Chris?
All right. Trying to decide. I'll save the most ridiculous for last. all right, I'll go with since you mentioned Edwards, I'll go with this one. So the last time we had an American in the top three of the MVP voting was actually 2001. It was Curry. He got third. He did. He got third. So
what year? 2021?
Yeah, wow. 4 years.
For top three.
4 years straight, nobody.
Wow.
4 years straight of nobody. So a semi-bold prediction is we'll get in the top three. And look, this is actually not even semi-bold. This is like full-on bold because I went and looked. The top five in the odds, top five, are all international players. SGA, Jokic, Giannis, Luka, Wemby. Right? So I'm saying somebody American cracks it, whether it's Edwards, Brunson, Cade, Paolo, Durant, if Houston like gets a number one seed or something, Mitchell, if he backs it up with Cleveland and has some kind of massive season. But I'll say this is the first year in 5 years that an American gets in the top three of the MVP voting.
I think the only way this happens is if one of those guys is under 65 games. That's it.
You could. All right. Look. SGA and Jokic, you could see absolutely no circumstance.
For sure.
Giannis, you could see a circumstance where the team's not good, and so he's fourth.
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
And then Luka's team might not be good.
Yeah, well, yeah. If Luka and the Lakers are in the plan,
they might not be good. And then Wemby's team might not be good.
They should be good.
We'll get
should
to that.
Be good. Yeah, they should be.
But they, I'll just say, yeah. My semi-bold prediction is that somebody breaks through, and for the first time in 5 years, since Steph Curry got third, we get an American-born player in the top three of the MVP vote.
Since 21 is crazy.
It's unbelievable. The last one that won it, you want to take a stab at it? You love him.
Harden, right? Was it Harden?
It's James Harden in 18.
Wow. That's crazy. It's
that's been so a long-ass long. Time, bro. That is a long-ass time.
That's nuts.
I know. So
Harden and Westbrook were the last two then. Westbrook the year prior, right? Yep. When he had his big triple-double. Wow, that's crazy. Nuts.
2018 wow. James Harden, I think, is the last one.
What a run. I'll move on to my second bold, semi-bold prediction here. Victor Wembanyama logs a quadruple-double this year.
I mean, that's not even semi-bold.
Yes, it is. There's only been four players to do it in NBA history. Nate Thurman in 1974, Alvin Robertson in 1986, Hakeem Olajuwon, who Wemby trained with this summer, in 1990, and David Robinson, another Spurs number one pick back in 1994. And so with Victor, if it's only the fifth, that's pretty outrageous. And so for Victor, I mean,
it's blocks.
With blocks, yes, not with steals. And so the closest he came to doing it was in the end of his rookie year against the Nuggets when he had 23 points, 15 rebounds, 9 blocks, and 8 assists. One block short, two assists short. And this preseason, we've seen the Spurs use, like, Cornette as a screener for him. We've seen guards and Vassell screening for him. They're putting the ball into Wemby's hands this season more than they have in the past. So I think there's a probability he's going to have more 10 assist games. To me, the bigger question is how many 10 block games is he going to have? I think you're going to see a lot of triple doubles from Wemby with points, rebounds, and assists, typical stuff. But 10 blocks, is he going to be challenged at the rim that often to be able to get 10 blocks? He's only, it's just very hard to do, obviously, but that's why it's a semi-bold prediction.
All right. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if anybody's done it since, but I actually, there's a guy in Memphis. He had a cup of coffee in the NBA and then became a great player in the Chinese Basketball Association named Lester Hudson. And he had a quadruple double in college. And I don't think anybody's ever done. I think he's still the only guy to ever do it. He did it with steals. And I see him every once in a while at the gym. And he's still bopping around. He's still hooping after all these years.
Only one in college. That's crazy.
Yeah, he had one in college. I think it was at UT Martin, I believe, at Tennessee Martin.
We'll be right back.
All right, this one. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Buckle up. Buckle up, you. Oh, are you going to hate this? Your guy might very well get a quadruple-double. But the 30-win team, the 30-some win team that everybody thinks is going to be the big breakthrough this year is wrong. It's not San Antonio. If it happens, it's Portland. They're the one that crashes the party. And I thought that this was semi-bold, but this is not even semi-bold. This is full-on bold. Because I went and looked. San Antonio was minus 160 to make the playoffs. Portland is plus 390. So if this is right, this is full-on bold. I had no idea. But I think there's always that team, right, that's kind of in that mix that's like the 30-some, mid-30s. And then they take – so, like, we had it with Houston, right? Houston took the big step, and we have it every year. We're around 500, we're okay, but then wow, they're surprising everybody. Sacramento did it. We've seen it over and over and over and over again. There's somebody like that, and everybody in the free world expects it to be Wemby and the Spurs. I think it could be Portland. That's the one, because during the course of the regular season, over 82 games, somebody, if they play hard and they defend like they did the second half of last year.
Top five defense second half of the year.
Most of these teams do not defend every night, right? They defend every night. I think losing Ayton helps. I think making Kamara and Sharp whole today, which they both signed their contracts, I think that helps. You got a bunch of guys that are happy. You got a bunch of guys that have like kind of come up together. Hopefully they'll be able to get Scoop back. They added Drew Holiday, who's a stabilizing force and like a pure vet. Like they did the Van Vliet thing, right? Where they, all right, we're going to go get a solid ass vet and we're going to push this timeline a little bit, right? They made some win now moves. And I think there's a really good chance it pays dividends. I like a lot of their players and they're deep and they got a bunch of wings. And if they defend like they did on a regular basis, especially once they just cut the cord on the Ayton stuff completely, and they've got Kamara and Abdia and Jeremy Grant and Klingon and all these guys, and now you add Drew Holiday that mix, I think they're going to be a bitch to play against. They've won nothing, and you're got a totally veteran-laden top of the West, right? Like, you've got Oklahoma City who's going to run it back, and you've got both LA teams, and
Denver,
and Minnesota, and Dallas, and it's like these guys, like, they are in this weird age range, and they haven't won anything yet, so I think they could be hungry. And on the other side, the concern is twofold on the San Antonio front. I got it. Wemby could very well take the leap and just rule the world individually. It is 1,000% Wemby dependent. The whole thing is Wemby dependent.
Of course it is.
I got it. But yeah, a lot of other teams, they can withstand guys going down. They can withstand injuries to players. They've got they're deep. One of the things we've seen about a lot of these teams is, do I have 8 to 11 guys that can be really good on a regular basis? Their whole thing is dependent on Wemby.
Can we agree that?
And we have no idea if they, we always gave them the benefit of the doubt because they had the greatest basketball coach we've seen in the last whatever, right? Like, we don't know if this coach is any good. We have no idea. Why is Mitch Johnson worthy of taking a team?
It also hasn't been good, you know, with Pop the last 5-6 years.
I got it.
Really, ever since Kawhi left. I mean, it's been a thing with the Spurs. They haven't won for a while
right
now. They need to prove a lot as a franchise. And with Victor, they land this alien generational talent. Everything else does need to pan out around him. I agree with you there. I have the questions all summer about the Harper, Castle, Fox trio of guards. Is there enough shooting there? Does Keldon Johnson shoot? Jeremy Sochan, obviously he's not a reliable shooter yet. There's a lot of questions. Does Devin Vassell take a leap? Many, many questions about the Spurs around Wemby. But can we agree on this? The Spurs ceiling is higher this season because of Wemby. We agree on that.
No question.
Okay. But I agree with you there. Is it possible that both of these teams take a bit of a leap here? Blazers into 500 range.
I think it is possible. Yes. Okay. I just like the depth of Portland. I agree.
Portland has better depth.
The stuff I love on San Antonio is young. You know what I mean?
If you put Wemby on the Blazers, are they a championship contender in place of Donovan Klingon?
Without question.
That says a lot about their depth, right, to your point. It says a lot about where Victor is today as a player.
Because I think Sharp could take a big leap too.
Okay, so you saying that, what if the Spurs' depth by mid-year looks good? What if Harper's great as a rookie? What if Devin Vassell gets back to what he was pre-injury and he looks like he's taking a leap? What if De'Aaron Fox and Wemby have great chemistry? What if Keldon Johnson, he looked really good in preseason after I was very down on him after last year. What if Keldon Johnson looks more like the really good two-way energetic guy that we saw earlier in his career? What if the Spurs' depth suddenly starts looking good? What does that mean for the Spurs' upside? To your point, it's Wemby dependent, but the depth could get better.
It just hasn't showed it to me yet, right?
Yes, again, not yet.
And totally. Again, like, what am I? Are we in one of those situations where when he's not on the floor, what are we?
Yes. Yep. Right. And we'll see. Harper, Fox, they have a lot of guys now. Castle, maybe he takes a leap. A lot of guys who hopefully can.
Oh, no. I could see it popping. I could see him dominating the world. Yeah. I'm just saying.
You're just hoping for a spot to open for your Grizzlies to slip in.
That's no. Shit. I'm not worried about that. Look, the Grizzlies last year, what'd they win? 48? I think they won 48. Yeah. They won 48. And that was with Morant playing 50 games.
Yeah.
So I'm not all that concerned.
Understood. And Blazers, those extensions they signed, 4 years, $82 million for Kamara, 4 years, $90 million for Sharp. These feel like team-friendly bargains, especially the Kamara deal. He's one of the best defenders in all of the league. He's become a super versatile offensive talent. Tell me this. How does Kamara get 4 years, 82, and Keegan Murray gets 5 years and $140 million, $58 million more in another year than Kamara, when Kamara is better than Keegan Murray?
You know what's crazy? A guy tweeted me today, and said he recalled an old mismatch episode that you and I did. And I remember this like it was yesterday, where we were goofing about the DeAndre Ayton deal. And I said, wouldn't it be crazy if it becomes the Tumani Kamara trade, right? Because he kept on being that name that was thrown into these things.
Yeah.
Like, I think he moved twice, and it was like, bro, there needs to be a book written about how Phoenix vomited all over themselves. Because you could look back and, like, Kamara's in the deal too. And it's like, bro, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and Tumani Kamara and DeAndre Ayton. I was in Phoenix 2 weeks ago with my family, and I was driving out. This guy was driving me out to a golf course, my Lyft driver. And he says, he's wearing like a Diamondbacks hat. And he starts talking about sports. And I was like, hey, man, I was like, you like the Suns? He's like, I don't watch them anymore. And I said, why? And he's like, I loved that finals team. And he's like, I became so invested. He's like, I loved all those players and I loved all those guys. He goes, and then they just ripped it apart. He's like, we were in the NBA finals and then they just ripped it apart. And he's like, I haven't watched them since. And I was like, damn, bro, this is sad. This is a sad ride. It was a true story, though. He was like, I loved Bridges. I loved Cam Johnson. Like, I became invested. He's like, I even liked that guy. He's like, who's the guy that did the crazy celebrations when he scored? I said, Cam Payne? He's like, yep, loved him, too.
They really were one of the most lovable teams in the Suns.
They had gotten cracking in a real way.
The Bright Future Suns, they became legit.
What are they now?
They're the Bleak Future Suns. Present Suns. That's what they are at this point.
Do you think that Memphis getting the Suns' first-round unprotected pick next year is a good thing?
Yeah, definitely.
It might be A.J. DePanster.
It could. It
might end up being the number one pick in the damn draft.
I know. So Grizzlies get the top rights to that pick before anybody else.
They've got it.
They got it.
Okay, that was the Bane trade.
That's right. Okay, so the Grizzlies have that pick outright. Okay.
Yes.
I think there's like some, they can swap it for something else, but regardless, the Suns are probably not going to be good.
Unbelievable.
I know. And so for Phoenix, that leads me to my next semi-bold prediction here. Devin Booker gets involved in trade talks. And now this doesn't mean he gets traded, but I think at some point you could see Mark Stein or Shams Charania or Sam Amick or somebody out there say teams around the league are trying to pry Devin Booker from the Suns.
And you think he did the whole, I want to be here forever. I want to be here forever. And then they gave him the $500 bazillion. So now he's got the money.
He signed through 2930.
It's done.
So locked up long term. Right. And the Suns have no incentive to bottom out because they don't have their own pick until 2032. Just crazy. But I mean, I think ultimately we're in a situation now, Chris, where teams are at least gonna do everything they possibly can to try to go and get him. And ultimately, that's where I think for the Phoenix Suns, teams are gonna be trying to explore trades for Devin Booker. I don't think he's gonna get traded, but I think he's going to be involved in some type of trade talks this year where teams are trying to go get him. Like the Pistons, for example. They have the Tobias Harris expiring contract and all of their future picks. Who's to say, and Jaden Ivey's hurt right now to start the year, at least for a month after knee surgery. Who's to say the Pistons don't call up in the middle of January and say, we'll give you all of our future picks. We'll give you all of them. You have our future. You can bet against us if you want. We want Book, Michigan kid. Maybe he'd want to go there. Maybe the Suns are so bad, Booker does develop a wandering eye. I think that's what we could come to in January or February. I don't think he's going to get traded, but I think we're going to get some noise about it.
I mean, look, if he played 3 months straight with Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green and wanted to be traded, I mean, I'm not sure how semi-bold that is, Kev. Like, I looked at their preseason box score the other night, and I saw Dylan Brooks took 18 shots, and I was like,
hey, oh, God.
Get ready, folks.
Was 18 really the number?
Yes.
You're not exaggerating that?
Yes. He had 18 field goal attempts, and I said, I've lived this.
I got to look this up. I'm looking it up right now.
It might have been their second one. I think he was 7 for 18. I was laughing so hard. He was the leading shot taker on the team.
18 shots in 27 minutes. God, it's going to be gross.
No, there ain't no... Look, Ime Udoka told him you can't do that shit, right? And so it worked. And you got the best version of Dylan Brooks in Houston, honestly. It was the best version you could ever get. But like now he's back to where he was in Memphis, which is there's nobody on the team to tell him to stop. And so like him, like I mean, I guess Booker should try, but that ain't going to work. He ain't scared of Devin Booker.
Not at all.
And it's like a rookie coach. Good luck.
I know. Good luck. What's your next one, Chris?
All right. This is my last one.
Okay.
But it's a monster.
All right.
Oh, boy. Oh, you're going to love this. So what was the clip you put out last week? It was like Bobby Marks, right? You were talking about LeBron and about the, you know, whether or not he could go somewhere else.
Yeah, we said if LeBron were just to demand a trade, where would it be? And Bobby said the Knicks.
So here's semi-bold for you.
Okay.
Not only does that happen, but within a year's time, and this is gonna make everybody go insane when it happens. Again, it's semi-bold. But it might be full on. Within a year's time, LeBron James is wearing a Mavericks uniform.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
This is the Nico plan. The Nico plan is he knew when he got in that room with Anthony Davis once upon a time. So now you have the LeBron thing. It's Luka's team. He ain't getting to call any more shots there. Klay Thompson signed up to play with Luka Doncic. Klay Thompson's dad calls games for the Lakers, or does he not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
Right.
Michael Thompson. Very funny guy. Love him.
That ends up there. PJ Washington is a perfect Luka sidekick. We know that. It worked. He just happened to get a contract in this offseason, didn't he? A big one. So now we got Clay, we got PJ Washington, we got some other stuff. And
we're,
now
we're $31 million now. They're getting close. You're getting real close to what's necessary for LeBron. And now we're gonna
throw in a couple other things.
Kayla Martin, Najee Marshall. You're getting real close.
We're gonna throw in a couple other things that work with it. And then LeBron can go and play it out with his buddy Kyrie and his buddy Anthony Davis. And Nico Harrison gets to stand up there and say, "See, just trust the process, blah, 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 blah."
That would be unbelievable.
I really don't think it would be unbelievable. Is it unbelievable that Nico Harrison would have talked to Clutch about this before ever doing anything with Anthony Davis?
No, it's not. It's not unthinkable. And I think you could also tie this to the fact, you know, what was it, 2 years ago now, Bill Simmons had said LeBron and Draymond to the Mavericks with Luka. Obviously, Luka's no longer there. But the LeBron aspect with AD and his buddy Kyrie, that's
also have players that are built to play with Luka.
Yes.
So this becomes appealing if you're Rob Pelinka. Now I can grab some of these guys because, look, Clay did sign up to play there alongside Luka Doncic. And
he'd love to be in L.A. I'm sure he would. He would love to be in L.A.
You know P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford can play with him. By the way, mm-hmm. both got deals, didn't they?
Yep.
All right, so P.J. Washington, Daniel Gafford, Clay Thompson. I mean, we're almost there. We're almost there, right?
It's really the Los Angeles Mavericks. That's what it becomes, plus Austin Reeves and some other pieces. That's really what it becomes there. And I think so the LeBron thing is fascinating here because so he's missing the start of the season with this back issue, and he's going to be out for some amount of time. And you're going to see Luka be Luka and then Austin Reeves with increased usage with LeBron not there. What if the Lakers are really, really good without LeBron?
No chance.
That you don't think so?
Nope.
You don't think so? You think they're going to struggle?
I just don't think they can guard anybody. Okay,
so you're thinking this goes this path, that in your semi-bold prediction here, that the Lakers struggle without LeBron. Yep. LeBron sees a team that cannot win a championship, and he asks out.
Right.
That's what you're thinking.
And I think both of them could actually get better.
Think it's be better a deal, off without each other.
A deal that makes both of... with that deal...
Oh, sure.
Would you like that deal for both teams?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think for Dallas, it's a situation where, I mean, ideally, I'd love to be young. But if you're committed to winning a championship, then yes, you're better with LeBron James for that roster. Yes, you are.
Right. Okay. And you got, you know,
and then with the Lakers, of course, LeBron is
Clay Gafford, PJ, and somebody else.
Diminished role for LeBron next to Luka, for sure. He becomes an elite spot up shooter, but he's not on ball as often, which is a good thing for him in some ways at his advanced age. But with those role players who are consistent, better defenders, better depth, a lob threat like Gafford, to your point, yeah, I think both teams that might be very mutual. And I'll tell you what, the Lakers fan base might also be very happy with
Hell
it.
Yeah.
I think they would be as well.
Well, I mean, Finney Smith, right, was a good acquisition, but he's hurt. And Finney Smith, they lost, Lakers last year. And so, like, go look up and down. Who's guarding somebody? Marcus? Marcus Smart?
No, he's not the same guy anymore. It's
Who's stopping somebody at the rim? I mean, Jared Vanderbilt cannot guard five guys. So who is guarding anyone on that team? Oh,
Jake LaRavia, they have a lot of hopes for, and you know him from Memphis. You know, LaRavia is solid, but he's not a stopper. So, like, you're asking a lot.
Stopper?
He's not a stopper. You're asking a lot from Rui Hachimura and Jared Vanderbilt and Jake LaRavia and past his prime Marcus Smart at this point. Like, you're asking a lot of those guys. So, yes, I do think the Lakers need depth, and I do think they are at risk of being in the play-in, for sure. Especially as loaded as the Western Conference is, they definitely are. Teams could get better, and I like that. I mean, I like that because I think the Knicks are a possibility. I'm sure LeBron would love Madison Square Garden, be the piece that puts them over the top. And Dallas, there's been noise for years now.
I mean, he'd run it back with Kyrie and AD for his last go-round, right?
Yeah,
two guys that he won titles with.
Yeah, and he loves them. He loves them both. That's right? A good one. I got two more, so okay. I'll do my last two sentences.
All right, let me hear them.
Here. All right. So in 2009, Brandon Jennings as a rookie scored 55 points. And since then, there's been 11 rookies to drop at least 40, but nobody's hit 50. The closest players to do it have been Trae Young, who had 49, and Blake Griffin, who had 47. This year, we get a rookie who drops 50 points. We're due, and it's going to be Ace Bailey. Ace Bailey.
I don't even know how semi bold this is. I mean, they're gonna have to get to what a number every night, and I mean, what's stopping him from shooting?
You don't think this is bolt 50 points? It hasn't happened since 2009.
This guy can hoop.
What is, you think this is a cold prediction?
No, this is good. This is semi. It's
semi
bold.
When we did our end of season semi bold predictions back in what, March or whatever it was, when we potted during the season, I came in too hot. These are semi-bowl.
Ace Bailey getting 50 is a good one.
I think Ace Bailey's got a real shot. He looked great in preseason. It's just preseason, but I was very impressed with Ace Bailey. All right,
do you think any of the other rookies could hit 50?
Trey Johnson.
In Washington. A
lot of opportunity, potentially. But there's
a lot of opportunity.
There's a lot of vets there, too, though. So, anybody that you would say? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Ace Bailey, Trey Johnson.
We got five cracks at it in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, that's true.
They're going to win six games, and so they got when they go 6-76, they're still going to have to score 100 and something a night.
Right? What's the over under for the Nets? Actually,
not too many.
Yeah, I think it's too many. I remember.
Did you see the thing Joe Tsai said?
Yeah, we're going to tank. That's the translation of it.
Hope we get a great pick. So you can get, he was like, so we really want that to be a great pick. So I guess you can guess our strategy. And I was like, oh my God, he really just said that out loud.
Yeah, I see it at 19.5. I'll take the under for the Brooklyn Nets this year.
Let me see if there's any other rookies.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Ace Bailey and Trey Johnson are the only two that are probably going to get enough opportunities and have the shot making ability to do it. Cooper's not going to get the touches. He doesn't have that scoring. You know, VJ Edgecombe, bunch of guys, a lot of touches. I mean, Jeremiah Fears on a night with the Pelicans where
maybe the other guy on the Jazz, Walter Clayton, he just hits like. Yeah. 10-3 or 13-3 one night or something.
Walter Clayton's an interesting one. That's possible. That's an interesting one.
How unfortunate. You'll love this because I used to always talk about teams. I'm scrolling through. This is actually the Yahoo app. There you go. I'm looking at the Yahoo app. And like on, if you go to the NBA tab, I clicked where it says draft at the top, right?
Great app.
So it just lists the draft. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going through when we were talking about these players, right? So I'm scrolling down, right? So it says like Jeremiah Fears, SGOU, right? And then it'll say Igor Denman, SGBYU. You scroll down, right? And you get down to Noah Isenge.
Isenge, yeah. Yep,
yeah, Isenge. Yep, yep. It says PF, and then in all capital letters, RAT. I swear to God. Go look at it on the Yahoo app. It says Noah Isenge, power forward, RAT. Unbelievable.
That's because that's the abbreviation for his international team.
Unbelievable. All capital letters. It says RAT next to him. And the only thing I know about that guy is he's the one that got that horrible photo taken of him when Johnny Furphy maimed him. Remember that? And he's like, he's got like that crazy face.
I'm going to hit up the Yahoo tech support and say, change it to ULM.
That's unbelievable. I swear, right underneath Noah Isenge, it says RAT. In capital letters.
That's so good.
RAT. I'd request that be changed.
Yeah, I'll hit him up on Slack.
Oh, you didn't mention Cedric Howard dropping 50.
Well, you know, Cedric Howard's not going to get 50. Might get 30.
I hope so too.
All right, what's your last one? My last one here. Derek White gets named in East
All-Star. I came all the way to this podcast for you to not talk about the Grizzlies thinking, come on.
Yeah, we could talk about the Grizzlies, but so Derek White, everybody's asking what Jaylen Brown's going to look like without Jason Tatum. I don't think enough people are asking what Derek White looks like without Tatum, because we saw him score a career high 41 last year in a game. Tatum was out, and that topped a career high 33 that Derek White had in a game that Jaylen Brown was out. And we saw in preseason with Derek White, he ran 6.3 pick and rolls per game in only 28 minutes, up from 2.7 pick and rolls per game in 33 minutes per game last season over the full year. So doubled his pick and rolls in preseason, could potentially triple it depending on what his real usage looks like this year. We know he's an elite defender. We know he's a really good passer. We know he's an elite shooter. He's gotten way better off the dribble as well, and here's the usage. And so with Derek White, the past year, he averaged 22.4 points and 7.4 assists per 75 possessions and minutes without Tatum and Brown, and pretty much equal at 21.6 and 6.5 assists per 75 possessions without Tatum with Brown. So with Derek White, he's in for a potential All-Star caliber year, and I think potentially the Celtics could be a lot better than people think. Especially because of Derek White.
I saw them in person during this preseason. I did think that Brown, if you told me Jaylen Brown ended up in the top five in scoring in the NBA this year, it would not surprise me one bit. I went and looked it up. He, over the course of his career, he's averaged 27 a game with Tatum out. And yes. Now I look at the rest of his team. It's like, who is he passing to?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
There's guys. Anthony Simons, Derek White.
No, look, they're going to win an amount of games simply because of the math, right? Because they're going to shoot 75 threes.
And the East is bad.
Their bigs are horrible. Come on.
You're not a Tillman Sr. guy?
What? We had him.
I know. That's why I'm asking you. You don't like Tillman Sr.?
Not as a starter.
Luka Garza? Not a Garza fan?
Oh, my God. Dude, Luka Garza fell down, and it took him 5 minutes to get up.
Nemias Keita? Not a fan of him?
No.
Come on.
No. Boucher? No. It's just not. It's not starting NBA caliber. It's not starting NBA.
But how much does this matter in the East?
I mean,
the East is so weak.
I think it matters against the top six.
I agree. I would agree there. But Boston could be 6 or 7 in the standings.
No way. Not with that. Because, I mean, I don't know if they want. I don't even think they
Do you think they care about being that high?
I wouldn't want to be that good. I'd want to be in the lottery in a year where you have Cam Boozer and AJ DeBonsa and Darren Peterson. I want to be in the lotto if I'm the Celtics or the Pacers. I want a lottery pick this year.
Yeah, I think they're more in the Chicago, Toronto, you know.
I think they're going to be better than
I don't teams. Think they'll be as good as Indiana. I don't.
Really? So, I think the Pacers have weak bigs too.
So I would say New York, Philly, Cleveland, Detroit, Indiana, Milwaukee, Atlanta, Orlando for sure.
You really like the Pacers more than the Celtics this year. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. But what about their bigs? They got Isaiah Jackson and Jay Huff and James Wiseman.
I got it. That's just a structural thing. That's just a we've got Rick Carlisle and here's the way we play. And I think Nembhard is actually going to be outstanding this year. Again, I don't love them either. Let's not get crazy. It's not like I'm telling you they're going to be in the, you know, one of the six or seven best, you know, teams in the East. But yeah, the Boston thing, I mean, I just watched them and I'm like, boy, they got, I got your hope for White, but I mean, we talk about the whiteboard. He moves up the whiteboard, and he's going to get a lot more attention. He's had a unbelievable opportunity to be, you know, the third or fourth guy, you know, playing with those guys because you had Porzingis and you had the rest of that group. But now, and Pritchard now, I mean, is he still the sixth man or is he now moved it to a different spot? Sounds like they're going to
move off of,
you know, Simons and Hauser. Try to clear up the cap thing. And so, I don't know. I just don't think they've got enough good players.
Totally fair. I mean, they're on the bubble for sure, and they have incentive to lose.
I do think Jaylen Brown's going to score a million points, though. I do. Definitely. He's going to score. I mean, this is his chance, right? This is his chance. There's nobody to share shots with that he feels like he has to, at least.
And we'll be right back after this break. Let's wrap up with a few newsy conversations here, Chris. KD signed a 2-year contract extension worth $90 million. We talked about the Rockets a bit earlier. We talked about the Blazers extensions as well. The Kings signed Russell Westbrook. And it's been funny to see some of the quotes coming out of Kings training camp because Russ, you know, he's kind of scoffed at the idea that this could be his last season, even though he didn't sign until days before the season began. And then Doug Christie said, "I just want Russ to be Russ." And Michael Malone in 2024 said, "I still want Russell to be Russell." And Ty Lue in 2023 said, "We want Russ to be Russ." So you have the coaches in three consecutive years all saying effectively the same thing. We want Russ to be Russ. And here we are with Russell Westbrook in this really weird Sacramento situation with a bunch of young guys that I love. Like, I love Nick Clifford. I can't wait to see him throughout his rookie season. I really like their youth. But the vet mix, it didn't make sense before Russ. It doesn't make any sense after Russ.
They are impossible to figure out. You could tell me that they are going to be pretty good.
No. They're easy to figure out. They're going to be terrible.
You think they're going to be I don't think they're going to be terrible when they got LaVine, DeRozan, Sabonis, Westbrook. I mean, they got enough good players for
can't
it not
defend,
to be terrible.
Can't but defend. They have enough good West players is too to good. In the East, they'd be a 4 or 5 seed. In the West, they're going to be like the 12, the 11.
You think that bad?
I do, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could see them not being horrible, but I could also see them being horrible. I mean, they got 10 legit players.
When I say horrible, let me be clear. I mean, in comparison to the other teams in the West, like they could win 38 games.
You think there's no way they could be a 500 team?
No, I'd be shocked.
I mean, with Sabonis, DeRozan, LaVine, I could see it happening.
I don't like the mix at all. I
don't like the mix either. But
I think by midseason, Kings fans are going to look at this team and be like, our young guys look good, but they're not playing enough. Let's trade our veterans to get some assets back, and let's go get a top lottery pick. Because this year's draft class with these guys, Cam Boozer, AJ DeBonsa, and Darren Peterson, They are all prizes, 1, 2, 3 this year. Never mind some of the good talent behind them, but those three in particular, there's a lot of appeal for these teams that are in the middle, that are like your 500 teams, to suddenly say, we'll trade our guys away and be bad, with the hopes that our 9th best lottery odds or our 11th best lottery odds, like the Mavericks, move us up to number one. It could happen. And so I think some of these teams are going to want to miss the playoffs, and the Kings, I would.
So they just trade around all those guys and then build around Keegan Murray.
Yeah, 5 years, $140 million. Yeah, exactly. Jaden Ivey had knee surgery. We mentioned that earlier. He's going to miss the next 4 weeks. This kind of went under the radar here, but Chris Collinsworth, he was on Kay Adams' show, and he said, I might get shot for some of this, but Michael Jordan's role with NBC, he said, it will be a deep dive into the brain of Michael Jordan. He said, the things you would really want to know from Michael Jordan, if there's no cameras, you're a couple of glasses of wine deep, and you want to ask him all the things about the documentary, about his career, what he thinks about the game, that's what you're going to get. That's what Chris Collinsworth said to Kay Adams. Very interesting. Gets me excited.
How the hell would Chris Collinsworth know?
I don't know. He's got a big role.
Yeah, I guess they know. Well, he's also maybe the execs told him that.
Yes.
And they might have said that while they were drinking wine. And Michael Jordan might have told them that while he was drinking wine. But I'll believe it when I see it. I hope so. That would be amazing.
I know. It would be incredible.
I hope
it.
Really,
and the one thing he said is, he said it won't be like, you know, who's the better player type of thing. It'll be deep dive stuff. So I wonder. I look forward to seeing how.
How often is he going to be on there, did he say?
He did not say that. Pretty amazing. Kay Adams gets all this stuff out of every interview she gets.
I mean, look, you want to find some shit out. Get Kay Adams or Taylor Rooks to do the interview. These guys just start babbling.
Say everything.
These dudes just start babbling.
What was the Jaylen Brown quote with the Taylor Rooks interview years ago? Something about, you know, how many MVPs he'd win or championships he'd win, something like that. It's like 5.
Bro, I still get we're finding the East from Taylor Rooks' interview. Or finding the West. Or was that Malika? That might have been Malika.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
So somebody. But it was somebody. And you know, Chris Collins, speaking about NFL, big win for your Cowboys.
Oh, my God. You're
going to be happy tonight, huh?
Oh, this is great. I mean, let's say this. The defense stinks, but my God, the offense is unbelievable. They're a fun team to watch simply because they're like, you know, think that, you know, we see NBA teams that are like this. You know, the ones that are fun to watch are the ones that can fly up and down, do fun stuff. It might turn out, it might not, but there's no doubt. Like, I mean, today was the first week in a long time you've seen Pickens and Lamb both. Like,
crazy.
Pickens, at the very beginning, CD was getting all the targets and Pickens was having like kind of, you know, 2 and 3 reception games. But then CD went out and Dak got this unbelievable connection with Pickens. And now both of them,
Jake Ferguson too. It's like a blessing in disguise in a way that CD went out.
Well,
because
the other
then
thing
he develops
is,
chemistry with others.
And Javonte Williams has been unbelievable.
He's awesome.
The offense is awesome. The defense stinks, but the offense is awesome. And I feel bad. Like, look, I can't stand the Commanders, but like, how brutal was that? I mean, obviously they had no McLaurin, they had no Deebo Samuel, but then Jaden Daniels gets hurt with the hamstring thing. And so now you're watching friggin' Marcus Mariota. I went through it last year where I had to watch a season with Cooper Rush, and it's brutal. It is brutal, especially when you're so excited about your young player.
I know. It's terrible. And this is his third time getting hurt. And you hope with Jaden Daniels it's just bad luck.
With getting back in NFL, are you all in on Drake May or what? Are you?
I'm all in on Drake May. Okay. All in on Drake May. And week one with Drake May was not good, and I was scared that it was going to be a repeat of last year for the Patriots after I predicted they'd make the playoffs in my NFL season predictions, and they've been great since then.
They have been great.
They've been awesome, and Drake May today became – I don't know how this is possible, considering Tom Brady was just the Patriots quarterback for 2 decades, but Drake May became the first Patriots quarterback in team history to throw at least 20 passes in a game and have a completion percentage over 90%. Like, how did Brady never do that? I think his high was like 88.5 or something like that. crazy. Like Drake has dramatically improved week to week to week. And yeah, he's the deep ball, the accuracy on those. He's
you
so
know
good,
what?
Man.
I turned that game on for a second on one of the TVs today. And I didn't hear really people talking about this, I guess, because it happened like a week and a half ago or whatever. But it dawned on me as I was watching that. I was like, oh, that's for sure why they threw the guillotine down on Brian Callahan. They didn't want Vrabel coming in there and whooping his ass, right? Because then that, you know what I mean? It's almost like we've already made our mistake. We're not going to make it even worse by watching our old coach come in here and wax our new coach that we replaced him with. So if we're going to fire him, let's get rid of him before that Patriots game, because that makes it even worse if we weren't because then that's the whole topic of conversation. This is the guy you replaced Mike Vrabel with, and I honestly think they probably would have beaten him by 100 if Callahan was still on the sideline. Vrabel probably, didn't beat him as badly today without him there.
Oh, I mean, look, it's still bad though for the Titans.
I know
they're hideous.
Horrible.
To watch.
So it's but like I'm saying
of,
it's not
instead,
a,
instead of beating the coach that replaced Vrabel, you beat the coach that replaced the guy that replaced Vrabel. It's
right.
Still a mess.
But at least it's not a thing for us to, you know what I mean, for everybody to be like, you know. See Brian Callahan standing over
for
there
sure.
And be like, unbelievable. How on earth?
1-6 Titans. I still like Cam Ward. I like Ty J. Spears, their young running back. And then they got Chimere DK. I don't know how it's pronounced, DK, but beats me. DK looked pretty good as a rookie receiver as well.
Great deal for them, though, because, they're about to open up like the most spectacular NFL stadium on the, east of the Mississippi coming up.
1-6.
Well, I mean, they're selling PSLs now and the whole thing. And that's the kind of place it's going to have the Final Four, the Super Bowl, WrestleMania. They are building a monstrosity.
That open for next season
next
for the Titans?
Season.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah. One of my buddies just bought a PSL there. Because I asked him, he was telling me he got like a PSL to that whatever the new Titan Stadium is. And it's like, I guess you kind of like you
a
get
PSL. Like what is like
it's
season
a personal
ticket?
Seat license.
Is this
a personal
for,
seat license,
for like
right?
All events?
Yeah. So like basically I give and I can't remember. I think his was like, I want to say it was 55 grand, something like that. I mean, they're expensive,
so
right?
Pretty price per year.
Yeah, but no. That's the license.
Okay.
Then you have to buy the tickets, which is whatever amount per year, right? Look, most of these guys, like in this guy's case, they'll write it off as a business expense, right? Like they'll buy the PSL, they'll have it within the company, you know what I mean? They'll take clients to this stuff, whatever, or give the tickets to clients to be able to go to games. He said they get first dibs on all the other events. That's the way that works, right? So
okay.
Like I have a personal seat license that I have to buy. So that's just the way they round up the money. But what I'm saying is, like, all those people are trying to do those sales every day, and you got a 1-6 team, and I think everybody would love to be excited about Cam Ward, but it's like,
it's hard.
But that stadium is supposed to be like, you know, like the same way they built SoFi, and it's, I know you've been there, right?
Oh, it's
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's
if you
glorious.
Look it up, this one they're building in Nashville is a monstrosity, like unbelievable. But their team is horrible.
I mean, I've never been to Nashville. Sounds like maybe I'll wait for a Nashville trip for after that opens up and go to a Titans game, go to a concert, see some music, whatever it is.
Yep.
It's an idea.
They'll
That's
get everything
idea.
There for sure.
Chris, I have one last thing. Tell me and the listeners, Cedric Howard, what are your expectations for him as a rookie after watching him in preseason?
I'm excited. Great head on his shoulders, and I think he is, how do I say this? Or what's the best way to explain? I think Coward, more so than virtually anybody I can remember covering in a long time, would have benefited the absolute most from getting to play those summer league games. he has been thrown into the ultimate fire by even having to go straight into the preseason, because he's been going up against like real NBA players right off the bat, right? He only, as you know, only played 7 games at Washington State. Mm-hmm. Before that, he was playing at a D2 school, right? So, I mean, like, this has been an unbelievable trajectory, but the size, the talent, this, you know, you look at him out there on the court. I mean, he looks the part already. He has not made a 3 to save his life throughout this preseason. And you look at the shot, and the shot looks great, and it doesn't go in. And so I'm going to bank that that eventually does. I just think the learning curve, I think people are going to have to be patient with it. But he has already made a couple of plays where you see the glimpses of, oh boy, this could turn out to be a really special guy, because the length, the size, all that stuff. And he's, and as you've met him before, kid's got he is the best interview possible.
The best.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he's so good. Like, I will say this. We went to Media Day about a week and a half ago, and you know my producer, Roser, and Roser is a massive 49ers fan, right? And we walk into Media Day, and Coward walks straight up to Roser and goes, "How did you guys lose to the Jaguars?" This was the day after they had lost to the Jaguars, right? And it's just a glimpse into, like, rookies don't act like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just so comfortable. He's got an unbelievable head on his shoulders. He's mega personable. Like, he's got all the stuff. And it's like, if he puts his head down and works at it, the learning curve is really steep right now. But he could be really, really, really good, because there's certainly no physical limitation that's holding him back from being anything other than good. And if you talk to the kid for 5 minutes, you'll believe he's going to be good, whether mm-hmm. or not he ends up being good. You know, I've met guys like that before. I've met guys that are unbelievable guys, and then they just don't fulfill their potential.
They become coaches or media guys.
Right. Yeah.
That's what they become. Right. And so Coward could do that if he wants to, but I hope before that he's a star player. That's what I hope. You know, I'm rooting for that kid.
He just got to make some shots. That's it. But I mean, he's, You find a highlight from the other night. I mean, he blocked Khalil Ware at the rim.
Oh, that was a hell of a play.
It was unbelievable.
Hell of a play.
Like, it was unbelievable. He is so long. The wingspan thing is crazy. What was it? Like 7'6" or something? It's something crazy.
No, not 7'6". I love you.
The wingspan, I'm saying. No, the wingspan was
Seven three. Still super long.
That's crazy.
For 6'6" without shoes and then 7'3" wingspan. That's gigantic. Crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the original thing when we first latched onto him. Roser had found this list of, it was all those guys that had gotten drafted in the first round that had these measurements.
And it Kel was, Bridges and all
OG,
winners.
OG and an OB. Yeah. Like, all of them turned out good. All of them. And so I was like, all right, mm-hmm. take this guy, right? Because all those guys, like, at least he has the body type that has turned out to be really good.
Then target guy happened, right?
Then target guy happened. Yeah, then target guy. And then it was on.
Yeah. Target guy was great. I saw him, met him at your Summer League show.
He's out of control.
What a character.
You know what? I thought of him the other night. Because on that thing, you know, he had number one on his draft board.
Cedric Coward, right?
No.
Who was his number one?
Because Coward, it could, you know, if it all takes, it could, you know, it could turn out to be unbelievable. But, you know, there's still a risk thing involved, right? Anytime you're taking a guy like that with not as big of a sample size. Oh, no. The number one on his whole board was Walter Clayton.
Oh,
and
God.
He went off the other night, and I was like, friggin' target.
Yeah, Walter Clayton did look really good.
He had 20 the other night. Yeah. I was like, yo!
I posted the highlights that day, and yeah, really good.
Walter Clayton looked good. Look, if you just tuned into the NCAA tournament, you would have thought Walter, couldn't believe Walter Clayton lasted until he did in the draft.
I know. How's this guy not number one? You'd be saying.
He was unbelievable. Yeah, in
he looked
in
like
the tournament.
He looked like Stephen Curry.
He was unbelievable.
It wasn't just like the degree of difficulty of the shots with like sidesteps and running away from the basket and turning and hitting threes. It was the fact it was in clutch, nail biting moments that he was doing it.
He might end up being great too. Who knows? He could.
I know. The Jazz might have nailed that draft. They really might have.
Might have.
They really might have. I hope Cedric Howard ends up a success too. I'm rooting hard for that kid. He's great story, great kid, great family. Yeah, yeah. I'm rooting for him in Memphis. Chris.
Well, it sounds like he's going to get the ball even more. He'll get more opportunity because Scottie Pippen's out, and who knows? I still haven't seen Ty Jerome news, so somebody's going to have to handle the ball when Ja's not.
Your family good, Chris? Everything good?
Everything's good.
Good. I'm glad, man. Same here, man. I'm loving the East Coast. It's very good to be out here. It's been nice. It's foliage season right now. It's beautiful, beautiful trees. Weather's nice. Very crisp air. It's nice. I'm good. I'm appreciate you joining me today, Chris, man. Thank you so much for making time, man.
Continue.
Big, 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 big thank you to Chris Vernon for joining me on today's episode again. We'll be back on Wednesday. Got Andrew Sharp coming on. We'll be talking about the opening night games from Tuesday. Got a player, a special guest coming that'll be on that Wednesday show as well before his debut on Wednesday. And then Thursday, got a number of guests reacting to a bunch of stuff from Wednesday. So we got a busy week here. Look forward to talking with you. Thanks again to Chris Vernon. And thanks to Father John Missy for the music. Thank you to Brett and Emmy for producing today's episode. And thanks to you for giving us a listen. We'll be back soon. Enjoy your week.